choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I'm Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 155. Tangled up in cord cutting. Cord cutting has definitely been a prevalent trend in the United States for the better part of a half a decade, such that when cable was at its absolute peak, over 70% of households had cable subscriptions. That number is down to just 46%. With people favoring a wide range or different streaming services and platforms, both not just in terms of video streaming, but also thinking about gaming streaming and that type of thing as well. On the flip side, what you also, you know, you have every household has its sort of unique mix and layers of what it does and does not want access to, and the costs associated with that. But as a marketplace shifts, the pricing and the mechanisms for how these subscriptions kind of embed themselves in the home have also changed significantly. And on top of that, you also now have cable providers who, you know, aren't just going to watch that revenue go away. So now you are seeing broadband-only packages, and now it's a matter of a jockeying to derive as much value as they can, perhaps out of that one line of, maybe instead of having both a cable and an internet package, now you're down to just a more comprehensive internet package that costs significantly more than it may have a few years ago. So this is where things get kind of messy. You know, going back several years, the cost benefit was pretty darn clear when these services were considerably cheaper than they are now. Today, I think this gets to be a more challenging proposition, and I want to talk a little bit about the historics on this, and then give some thought in terms of now, you know, once you have kind of an understanding lay of the land, thinking about how do you actually implement cutting back on some of these layers of costs that have taken place. Because that's just it. If you go and say, I'm going to cut cable, but then you add $100 worth of services a month, you now have exceeded that cable bill. There was no trade-off. And in fact, you could be paying considerably more for the same service that you would have otherwise had, or a comparable level of service, just sticking with cable. Because the thing to keep in mind, cable plan, the average TV cable plan is in the neighborhood of about $80 a month. And so if the idea was, I'm going to cut the cord, and the reason why I'm doing that is saving money, well, that thesis is becoming ever more difficult, and I'll explain why. So first thing I want to bring up is that I'm going to take one of the most historic names in the space, and that's Netflix. Netflix in 2007 was $8.99 a month, and that was their top tier, no ads, all the things. Today, Netflix is $15.49 a month for their standard version of their ad-free service, which is up 72%. Or $22.99 a month for four devices and their ultra-high-definition service, which is up 155% from that 2007 number. And I bring up both of those numbers for a reason. Over that same period of time, wage growth in the United States is up 67%. So, relatively speaking, between that 67% increase in wages and the 72% increase in costs, Netflix costs you a bit more relative to how much you've seen in wage growth on average over the last 15, almost 20 years. If you're looking, but one of the things that's really difficult about this too is, remember that that $8.99 covered an awful, you know, what was perceived to be an awful lot back then. Where now, in order to really get that same top tier level service, you're not paying $8.99, you're paying 1.5 times that amount. You're paying considerably more than your wages have gone up to have, you know, 4 devices and ultra high definition. Some would argue that that 4 device thing is a downgrade because you were able to share your login information a whole lot more readily than you are today. They're really cracking down on that. And so part of the cost savings wasn't even just the pricing back in 07, 08, 09, 2010, and so on, but it was also the ability to share passwords, which these guys are really starting to pinch on. And so again, as you're layering these costs, it starts to add up pretty quickly. Hulu in 2010 was $9.99. Now it's $14.99. YouTube Premium was $11.99 when it came out in 2018. It's now $13.99 today. That's one of the smaller cost increase, a 17% increase over the last 6 years. I take a look, though, at Disney Plus. It was $6.99 when it launched in 2019. Now it's $10.99 a month. 57% increase in the last 5 years. And I will tell you, in the last 5 years, wages have only grown by 25%. So again, Disney is costing you at proportionately twice as much as the, relative to the pace of what you're earning over the last half a decade it's been around. Yeah, Disney Plus has been around half a decade, by the way. I'm just thinking about that going, that's wild. It feels like, you know, not that long ago that the service launched, but no, 2019 is when it hit. Apple TV Plus, when that first came out, it was $4.99. As late as a couple months ago, it was $6.99. Now it's $9.99 a month for Apple TV Plus. That's a 100% increase. That is a 100% increase. Now, granted, that 100% increase still puts them as one of the cheapest options overall for streaming per month. But nonetheless, that is a massive jump when it comes to basically catching up with the field, basically being in the $10 to $25 a month range, depending on what services you're buying and so forth. But nevertheless, it's still that is a jump in cost. And these are just kind of premium services. We're not even digging into the what you would need to subscribe to get access to basic CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, etc., where those packages can run $30, $50, $60, $70 a month. So as you're at looking at this and at kind of going down the line, if you have HBO Max, at $16 a month. If you've got a Paramount Plus, that's $11.99 a month. These are, you know, it starts to add up really, really freaking quick. And so when we say, oh, I'm gonna cord cut and I'm gonna go to subscriptions and save money, I'm looking at you going, you're gonna need a better battle plan than just saying you're gonna do it, because it doesn't take that many of these before you get to that magic number of $80+ a month or more. And it isn't just streaming services that are doing these things. I'm a big gamer. I'm in the video game space. And, you know, up to a couple of years ago, PlayStation Plus, you know, was sitting at $50 a year. And then it's $60 a year. Now it's not only is it $80 a year, but that doesn't even get you what you used to get as a PlayStation Plus member. They've now broken it out into tiers. And in order to get access to, they've tried to add some value by adding access to catalogs, backlogs of games, but they're trying to shoot for anywhere from $134.99 a year to $159.99 a year. And you think about that breakout a bit. Now you're talking, you're getting into $15 a month in that range, or pretty close to it, $14 a month. So there, you know, you have that. Xbox Game Pass starts at $10 a month. You have, but again, three tiers: a $10 a month, an $11 a month, and a $16.99 a month feature. So, you know, you add all that up, that you know, again, that top tier runs you over $200 a year now. That's a number. So in gaming, we say this, and by the way, I mean, I sit there and look at the Switch. The Switch is considerably less, but it also offers considerably less. And even then, individual plans, $49.99 a year, family memberships, $79.99 a year for access to those and their backlog of classic gaming. So again, you know, all these bits and pieces are, you know, add up, and as they continue to compete for your attention and cost, I guess one of the sneaky aspects of this is that these subscriptions, I mean, they charge every month. They tend to not have a means of, there isn't any review aspect built in. As long as you keep having your card on file, they're going to keep charging it whether or not you use the service. And that's the kicker. You only have 24 hours in the day, and hopefully you're sleeping somewhere between 6 and 8 hours of that. You're going to be working some amount of that too. So you have only a certain amount of time to enjoy these services anyway. So my question is then, do you really need all of these things turned on all at once? And so one of the big things we work on with clients right off the bat, when we see a bunch of subscriptions, is to say, but how much bandwidth do you have? And this isn't just streaming, by the way. You could also look at things like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or your Washington Post or whatever, you know, whether it's that type of media. Is it comic books for you or digital media in some other fashion? Is this, following your favorite creators on Patreon or whatever creation platform suits you? And again, it adds up. $5 here, $10 there, and so on. So the first thing to really think about in this, if you're looking at those costs and going, man, I really would like to have more money in my pocket, but I'm having a hard time. I look at this stuff and I don't want to miss out. I get that feeling. So then the question I would then have is, if you were to list your services and write down a list. I think this is a great exercise to actually handwrite a list of all the subscription services you have. And if you don't know all of that, go through a credit card statement or two. And you'll be able to see this. And if it shows up, by the way, as a block purchase, like all your subs in one spot, then check the platform that you've subscribed through them to see a breakout of the billing. Or let's see where that is. And here, and it's not easy to look at that, by the way. I mean, I it sounds easy. It mechanically is easy. But I think it's hard for people to really sit down and examine where is my money going, and am I okay with that or not? Does this make sense for me or not? And so, like, once you sit down and actually have a list, these are my subscriptions. I'm going to throw other things in here. If you have subscriptions like Amazon Prime, where they've conflated entertainment and shopping, or Walmart Plus, you got to throw those in as well. If you have a credit card subscription, so you're paying for that travel card, get those sweet, sweet miles and rewards, I want to see that in the mix too. Because I really want you to go line by line and go, is this important to me in any way? First off, because if you look at a subscription and right away go, you know what, I don't care about that one. Great, that's an easy win. Don't just cross it off your list. Make a list of what you're going to go and cancel. So you're making a second list here. And the first list is all your subs. And the second one is, what am I canceling? That's part one. Then once you've done that, what I want you to do is, next to the subscriptions that you have left, I want you to put a percentage of what percentage of your time is spent using each of these platforms. So if you have a Netflix and a Hulu and a YouTube Premium and an Apple TV, okay, but how much time are you spending watching or using any of those services? And now once you have that percentage down, and you're looking at it and go, okay, I spend 60% of my time watching Netflix. Maybe I'm spending 30% of my time watching YouTube Premium, and maybe it's 10% Hulu, 10% Apple TV. Here would be my challenge to you. Then cut the Hulu, cut the Apple TV, maybe even cut the Disney, you know, get it down where it's one to two of those, the two that you use the most, or maybe it's two or three that add up to like 80% of what you're watching. Well, take that majority of 70 or 80%, keep those, and ditch the rest. And I want you to try not having them for 2 months. 60 days, don't have those lower use services, and see if you miss them. See if you miss having access to those platforms. Because in many cases, when we go through this exercise and do that, people go, you know what? I really wasn't using it that much. It wasn't that compelling. If a great show comes on, I am willing to turn off one of my other services for a month or two, binge it, and then turn these things back on when I want them. And that, to me, makes a lot of sense. Because ultimately, you only have so much time during the day. And so why are you continuing to pay for things that ultimately are not, you're not using the service, you're not getting value out of it? Doesn't make any sense. But they do make it challenging to cancel. Sometimes it is buried in a menu of some sort. And here's, you know, hard part. You go, oh, well, I deleted the app. Well, deleting the app doesn't cancel your subscription. Deleting an app will not stop your subscription. You need to go into the billing settings. You need to go and cancel it. You need to remove your payment information. It's awfully hard for them to charge for your service if they don't have your payment information. Remove it from their platform. Make it harder for them to, you know, quote unquote, accidentally have you subscribe for a month that you did not want already. Additionally, frankly, don't negotiate. I know some people say, oh, you can negotiate and get a better price. I'm not interested in better pricing. I'm interested in saving money. I'm not interested in, we'll give you this promotional subscription for a year and it will cost half as much. Well, I don't want to just save 50%. I want to save 100%. I'm not going to cancel my $15 subscription. But they called me and now it's, instead of it being $180 a year, it's $90 a year for a year. Well, yeah, you saved $90, but you also spent $90 that you intended not to. Unsubscribe. And don't be taking, you know, when you look at that, don't take no for an answer on that. Don't take no for an answer. You're canceling this thing. That's it. And then the other thing to do is make sure that if a subscription is worth it and continues to be, and you go, okay, I want this thing, have you set up a time where you reevaluate this stuff? Whether it's every 6 months, or maybe there's a time once a year before the billing rotation comes up, that you go, now let's double check and make sure I'm really still enjoying the thing that I'm paying for 15 bucks a month or 10 bucks a month or whatever it is, and see, are you really getting that value? I think about things like, the various versions of DoorDash and Grubhub Plus or whatever they call them today, or Uber One, which is the Uber subscription option. Are you actually leveraging these services and getting enough of a value to justify the additional pricing? Is having the subscription causing you to consume more? And I'm looking at you, Costco. Costco is one of those nefarious ones where you go, you buy that subscription, then you feel like you need to use that subscription, but and look at all the pricing and deals. And the subliminal part of it is, but you're buying in bulk, which tends to mean that people will consume more quickly and more readily something they might not otherwise have done so. For example, if I go and have a, let's say a 12-pack or a 24-pack of soda sitting out in the garage, a floor and a half away and outside and, you know, or out, you know, in a more challenging spot, well, I'll drink a Coke once in a while. But it's, you know, it's not something I drink even so much as every day. I might have one or two sodas a week. Where if I have it downstairs in my office, same 24-pack, let alone if I have multiple ones, I'll probably have 3, 4, 5 cans a day because it's just sitting right there. It's easy for me to access. Well, similarly, when you go in and buy and overbuy something that you don't necessarily need, you will also tend to overconsume it. So you're not actually saving money anymore, and you're gaining calories in that case in the process. That's where these discount stores can be very tricky. They're selling mass amounts of stuff, so they win on quantity, they're winning on scale. But the other thing they're getting you to do is buy things at a level that you would not have bought them had you gone to a regular grocer, and frankly not have gotten that good of a deal. The quote-unquote good deal is actually causing you to spend more as a result. And so these are the traps and pitfalls to kind of look at. Is your cord cutting actually saving you money? Is your or are you tangled in a different web? Instead of having cable and its bill of 80 or 90 bucks a month, are you now tangled in a variety of subscriptions that form its own form of cable, just entirely a la carte? And is that entanglement not just your streaming services, but across all of your subscription services? Are you just spending way too much relative to how much time you have to use it? And if you are, maybe this is the time to take a real hard look at it and cut some of these lower, you know, hanging ones that aren't nearly as relevant in your life, getting rid of them, and putting that money back in your pocket, building up some savings, or putting it in your investment account and putting it to work. These are all things that you have the choice and the ability and the agency to do. But it starts with looking at all of this information, seeing what are my subscriptions across the board? Am I actually using these things? If not, cut the ones that I use the least or don't use at all. Give it a chance to see if I'm okay with the lifestyle I have, not having those things, which is probably yes. And then if you feel like you need access to something, make it such that you're making a trade-off. If you don't use Disney Plus regularly but want to catch the next spinoff of Star Wars that they have, fine. But are you willing to cut your Hulu during that time or your Netflix or your whatever so that at least it's not increasing the size of its footprint? Finally and lastly, what I'll say is that it is as the streaming platforms continue to evolve, watch their pricing continue to evolve, and be careful about it. I mean, we're going to see more and more pricing that integrates advertising into it. And now at this point, you're trading back dollars for your, you know, basically your eyeballs and attention. For me, I don't particularly care to have ads at all. And would rather not watch TV than watch it with advertising. So if we continue to see that drive, it may be one of those things where some people look at it and go, you know what, I'm willing to really cut back the number of subscriptions and only you know watch things that focus my entire attention on what I want to watch instead of having ads jammed down my throat. If the advertising doesn't bother you as much, you can probably save some money this way. But what I would caution is that if you go down that road, now you're allowing people to market things at you that, again, you might not have already considered buying. And so there's a different sort of tax and cost because now you're letting these people have access to you to try to sell you things. So be very thoughtful about this. It can have a sizable impact, not just on your monthly budget, but your ability to save, how you are affected as a consumer, and your behaviors moving ahead as well. You actually have quite a bit riding on this. And so, you know, with that, be deliberate in your cord cutting. Be definite in your cord cutting. No negotiations, just hit cancel. I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Money is Personal. Be sure to like and subscribe and follow and do all the things on whatever platform you see fit. Our Facebook and Instagram feeds are loaded with great tips and ideas and suggestions. Make sure to follow and like those things so you get that pushed to you a few times a week. See, there's a subscription. It doesn't even cost anything. You can subscribe to us on our socials for $0. There you have it. What a deal. I'm not even going to raise the pricing on that. You don't even have to worry about me inflating that content. So go ahead and enjoy it. Make sure to share with family and friends as well. We love to help more and more people. And so every time you share this podcast with someone that you care about, it's an opportunity for them to help their finances become better as a result. And that's what we love to do around here. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.